can't shoot this son of a bitch. Let's see if we can have a little fun with him.
Hey, so like 8:30-ish, right? 8:30-ish. It's not a hard 8:30, right?
Dude, what happened to your camera?
Is this the ghost of Marco?
I'm trying to do my best like Scooby-Doo ghost. So hold on.
Pretty good, actually. Oh,
the only thing about having my camera not functioning right now is that
don't know why. Is that why?
No, I don't know. I don't fucking know why. It's one of the two reasons. One, I don't fucking know what the fuck. What?
Go to settings.
Okay. Go to sit down. Go to sit on your mom. I got it.
Go to settings.
Where's settings?
Camera should be lit up. If not, click camera. Go to camera and choose your camera. Little drop down, just say camera. It'll say like mine says 4K webcam or HP wide vision HD camera.
Hey, you know what's cool?
Camera.
Hey, you know what's cool?
Yeah.
When I do that shit that you just told me, it still doesn't work. Eat a dick.
Dude. Exit out and come back in, bro.
Oh.
Did you try turning it off and turning it back on?
No. I'm gonna slap this bitch on the side like the old fucking transistor TVs. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna fucking play. I'm gonna play.
Blowing the fucking cartridge.
Wait, when Chuck was trying to tell you how to fix it, this is all I thought of. Ready? So I'm gonna play this while Marco tries to fix his camera. This shit's fun. Here we go.
R2.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. All right, now what do I click?
Click preferences.
Click preferences.
Now go to default media browser.
Okay, there's a little hourglass, and it's not letting me do anything. It says buffering. What is that?
Just give it a minute.
All I'm trying to do is make an MPEG.
All I'm trying to do is tell you to wait a minute.
Okay, relax.
Now click import video file.
All right. It's not that. Download Real Player 7.
You know what? I'll just bring it to him myself.
if you guys have never seen the Family Guy Star Wars movies, Family Guy rotoscoped all three of the original Star Wars movies, Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi. And yes, it's not called A New Hope to people like me and Marco. It is called fucking Star Wars. Because when we saw it, it wasn't called A New Hope.
No, it was just Star Wars.
Yeah, it was just Star Wars. Anyway, that's what that reminded me of. You still haven't gotten your camera to work? Really?
No, fucker. Okay, Chuck, I'm leaving. Okay,
turn
okay.
off. Turn it back on.
No. It's cool, dude. It's cool, dude. Check it out. Ready? Fuck.
All right. Let's do this. I like the chat's idea, so let's sound off. What are we drinking in the chat? let's see. Sofa King is drinking Corona, no lime. Corona is a skunky beer. If you don't have a lime in it, are you really drinking a Corona? 1911, MJV. You're going to have to answer this. Should we call you MJV or should we call you 1911? But he's having a vodka martini with a side of baklafin, which means MJV will be time traveling. Because baklafin is a muscle relaxer.
I was about to say, it's got to be. It sounds like a muscle relaxer.
Yeah.
Or some sort of narcotic.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Sofa King wants to know if Marco just rage quit. No, we had him turn it back off. Turn it off and turn it back on again. The first rule of tech support. Have you tried turning it off, turning it back on? Scott is drinking Four Peaks Lager.
What's that?
I don't know. Scott, what is Four Peaks Lager? You have to explain that one. MJV, my favorite memory from childhood is my back not hurting. And I will tell you this right now. I have an MRI for my back. I mean, those of you that know, I retired medically. And so, Chuck, it's like we're going into an episode of War Stories while Marco's coming back. Well, Marco's gone and coming back.
Yeah.
So this, I thought you would find this story funny. Marco says, now you can eat a dick while I restart this bitch. Okay. So check this shit out, right? For those of you who are still pushing black and whites, I just want to give you something to look forward to. Austin, good evening. So I went to Emiliano has got a Mai Tai. Good boy. Look at that handsome fucker right there.
So it worked. You turned it off, you turned it back on, and now we can see your fucking face. Good job.
Shut your whore mouth.
Hey, I'm training for cybersecurity, and this is what I have to do. You're welcome.
Cybersecurity is telling people to turn it off and turn it back on.
Hey, have you tried fucking it?
See, cybersecurity is, turn it off and turn it back on. And when you turn it on and it asks you for the password, don't use 123456.
Oh, yeah. That's the same combination as my luggage. Ooh, what's that one from?
Spaceballs.
All right.
We ain't found.
I was just telling a story before you jumped in. I have to have an MRI on my back again, another one, on Saturday morning. And the clinic called me and they said, okay, so we've got your chart and we want to confirm what your diagnosis is. And did you ride horses?
No,
I rode something, just wasn't
a horse. I'm in Idaho, so it's a legitimate question. Okay. And she says, were you in rodeo? Did you ride horses a lot? And I said, no. And she goes, really? And she goes, you know, this is so
because you got a blown asshole.
Right. So what I actually have is I have a disc that pushes on my sciatic nerve. A part of a disc pushes on my sciatic nerve at L5S1. Okay. So that's the actual diagnosis. And if you don't know where L5S1 is, it's pretty close to your asshole. It's pretty much as low as you can get. It's where like your spine meets your pelvis, and that's why it presses on the sciatic nerve. Because if you don't know what the sciatic nerve is, the sciatic nerve is one of the two large nerves that go from your spine down through your pelvis and feed your leg. Okay. It's basically the Reader's Digest version. Anyway, so she says, I don't know, what did you do? And I said, well, I was a cop. And she goes, okay. And I said, I wore 35 pounds on a belt and got in and out of a car 75 times a day, 12 hours a day, probably 7,500 times a day, 750 times a day, 12 hours a day, 4 days a week. And she's like, and that does that? And I said, well, I know two other cops that have retired with this exact same sciatic nerve at L5S1. She goes, really? And so that was my story about getting accused of being a horseback rider because
a new one.
MJV, were you out? Why are you out? MJV, tell us in the comments why are you out.
Yeah, what happened?
I had fucking surgery. Had an MRI post-op, and they looked at my back and they were like, wait, you had surgery? And I was like, yeah. They're like, no, we can't tell. Your back fucked. And I was like, thanks, guys.
It's a mess in here.
That's what you want to hear.
All right. And I wanted to tell you that our beer that we asked about, the Four Peaks Lager, is that what we asked about? Yeah. Four Peaks Lager is a local Phoenix beer. And we apologize. It goes by Bear. So Bear, good on you.
Bear's a good guy.
I'm going with local spirits.
All right.
Old Boise vodka. Oh, and I'm going to give you a couple of tips for those of you that if you ever come up to this area and want to visit and have a drink and go shoot some pool and shit like that. First of all, it is not Northern Idaho. Only people from outside the area call it Northern Idaho.
Okay, what do you call it?
Like, it's Northern California and Southern California. It is Southern Idaho and North Idaho.
Oh.
So don't call it Northern.
Fuck, semantics. Okay. All right. Got it.
That's how cool. They can tell.
Northern Idaho. You
can tell in the panhandle where I live. That's how they can tell that you're not from around these parts, is if you call it Northern Idaho. If you say I live in Northern Idaho, they're going to go, you fucking Californian.
You want to hear some shit?
Wait, let me. And then the people from Southern, the way you can tell is, how do you pronounce the state capital of Idaho? Chuck, you know?
Idaho.
No, the state capital, not the state name.
The state capital Boise. Of Idaho?
Yeah.
Boise.
Pimp.
What did you say?
Boise.
Okay, Marco?
Yeah, I thought it was Boise.
Yeah, Boise. Like Boise. Like Boise.
With a lisp.
No, like
Boise. Boise. Like if Mike Tyson was trying to say it. Is that what you're trying
to
say?
No, that's with a TH, Boise.
Boise.
I'm in Boise, Idaho.
It's Boise, Idaho.
Okay, what's up, Pablo? Welcome.
I'm not talking no shit because I'll fuck you up.
MJ says herniated bulging discs and pinched nerves. So, pretty ooh. Much standard first responder injury.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah.
You want to see my scar?
Okay.
Do we? Whoa. All
right. We sure.
Do we want to? Oh, it's too late. It's happening.
We're gonna see it whether we like it or not. Oh,
I see a tramp stamp.
I see a big white spot, dude. Your white ass skin is blown out. Oh, now I saw butt crack. Damn it.
He's coming. Oh, that is a nice discoloration scar. Look at that.
That's yeah.
Cool. Are you gonna have your scar tattooed
like
over?
4 inches, dude.
Hey, let me tattoo a zipper.
4 inches.
So your scar's bigger than your dick.
Oh shit.
I got an 8-inch one on my knee too.
Oh, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
All right. So
stretched.
Yo,
let's
dude,
get into this shit.
Hold on.
Okay. Oh hold yeah, on. You wanted to tell me. Let's hear. You want to hear some shit.
Yeah, so yeah. Talk about pronunciation of shit, right? Yeah. You know how fucking white Texas is over here, especially in Austin. They don't say Guadalupe.
They say like, Guadalupe.
They say Guadalupe.
Guadalupe.
Guadalupe. Guadalupe. Yeah.
Guadalupe.
And it says Manchaca, but they pronounce it Manchac. It's not Manchaca. It's Manchac.
Okay, right. So I'll bitch a little bit about dispatch because why not? First of all, for those of you that don't know, dispatchers either come and in honor of Dispatch Appreciation Week, I think, or was it Dispatch Appreciation Day? I can't remember if it was a day or a week.
It's probably only a day.
In honor of Dispatch Appreciation Day, which happened this week, I want to remind all of my cops and firefighters out there who have dispatchers that work with them. First of all, don't piss them off. They will win. Okay.
Okay.
And second of all, most departments just remember, most departments either get their dispatchers from the pound or by the pound. So just stay away.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
If they have a sexy voice,
damn.
The sexier the voice, the bigger they are.
Yeah, they're probably.
Oh, it's like the old school fucking sex call.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Yes. Thanks, bro. You should see the cops.
My name is Jennifer.
Oh my god, dude. They're fucking IMs on the fucking MDC. They're like all shift, and then I'm like, bro, have you met this chick? And they're like, no, but she's sexy as fuck in the fucking radio. I'm like, yeah.
Her voice is.
Here's the thing about Chuck's agency versus my agency.
Go ahead.
Chuck, his dispatchers were in a separate location, and they handled multiple locations. Our dispatchers were right at the station. Our dispatch center was at the actual police station. Now, they handled multiple stations, multiple locations. They handled all of fire and all of PD. Okay, but our building was the building that actually housed them. So when you went back to the station, they were right fucking there. And I'm going to tell you right now, the smart ones knew, stop by Starbucks, grab that extra coffee. When you get back to the station, be like, hey, I came back to do some report writing. I thought you could use a coffee. And then that next fucking rape report or the fucking barking dog call, it's not yours.
That was like our fucking records clerks.
Yeah.
I would bring them a fucking 5-pound bag of like chocolate. And I would bring it in, and I'd drop it on their desk, and they'd be like, honey, what do you want? I'd be like, well, what had happened was, and they all start laughing. They're like, fuck. And they take the stack of fucking papers, they move them, and they grip my report. Look, what do you need? I was like, I just want to go home. And she's like, got you, baby.
And oh, my God.
She'd fucking bring it up. It's inputted, sweetie. And I'd fucking be like, hell yeah, I'm with the fuck out of here.
Dude, Marco, you're either going to kill me or you're going to be a hero right now.
Okay. Kind of scared.
Who the fuck said, what kind you need? Okay, hold on. Oh, it was somebody we knew. Wasn't it a high school teacher?
Oh, Mr. Morrison.
Mr. Morrison. What Mr. kind? It was sandpaper. It was sandpaper.
Well, it was a sandpaper.
Mr. Morrison, can I have some sandpaper?
What kind you need? And then there was a, you're going to need a pen or a pencil.
That was Mr. Morris, the biology class. Yeah. Y'all going to need a pen or pencil.
Don't come in my class acting a fool. Yeah, that's right. Don't come in my class acting a fool. I love that man.
And we had this friend. Her name is Rosalia. We called her Rosie. We still have her. Rosie. Shout out to Rosie in Chicago. he could not say Rosalia. And so her name was Rosala. And then
why are you laughing, Chuck?
Rosie and her friend, she had a Hispanic friend that we had right after lunch. Rosie and her Hispanic friend Flavia. And Flavia and Rosie would have lunch together, and then they'd come to fifth period science, and they'd walk in, and if they walked in late, it was Rosala and Flava. Anyway, nobody cares about our fucking high school teachers, but I just thought we'd share that. Let's cut to the fucking chase. Boys, Mike Tyson is fighting Jake Paul. Mike Tyson.
Hey, have you read any of the conditions? Because people are talking shit about the conditions.
Should we look them up?
Yeah, look them up. Because I have
basically.
Go ahead.
Basically,
you're going to look them up, Jeff, or do you have them?
Well, I kind of glanced at him. Are you going to look them up? Telling this.
No,
I glanced at him as it was going on, and they were talking about it. And basically, it handicaps Mike Tyson from fucking just knocking Jake Paul out in the fucking first round. Because if he knocks him out in the first round, he gets like barely any money. Second round, basically, he has to go the fucking distance with Jake Paul, so he gets to fucking toy with him, which opens him up for more damage from Jake
Paul. Absolutely.
He's young, dude. He's
no headgear. No headgear will be used.
Bullshit.
Iron Mike will fight for the first time since facing Roy Jones Jr. in 2020 exhibition. The bout will take place under exhibition rules, but Paul has vowed to challenge that status. And let's see. 18-ounce gloves and headgear was what was said, but there's not going to be any headgear. I can't find the actual, like...
It was outrageous. No.
No, the rule it says as of 8 days ago, the rules are still up in the air.
So when it was first announced, it was basically like if Mike Tyson gets a first round knockout, he gets little to no money. If he gets the second round knockout,
dude, if I'm Mike Tyson, I don't need the money and I knock that motherfucker.
That's what I hope. I hope fucking Tyson just fucking goes out there with some pride and just goes Merry Christmas, motherfucker, and just starts fucking.
We've all seen Mike in fucking interviews and shit where he grabs the interviewer and he's like, I'll fuck you up.
Okay. So I want to remind you guys that you Mike Tyson is 57.
And
I don't give a fuck. He's the deadliest 57-year-old fucking out there. You know what I'm saying?
Mike Tyson became the heavyweight world champion. Mm. Oh, here's
a question. I think it was 20.
1986. Mike Tyson fucked up the champion and won the championship at 20 years old. Tim Curtis, Mike said that he may as well have fun in life now. And now he's okay with it. Here's the thing. Austin says Mike is still an animal. I would not fuck with Mike Tyson on my best day and his worst day. If I was a cop and they dispatched me to arrest Mike Tyson, I'd be like, hey, listen, Mike, I have total respect for you. I think you're an amazing athlete. We don't have to talk about that rape shit. It's none of my business. You did your time. But here's the deal, man. I got to take you to jail. So it's going to happen one of two ways. I'm going to put handcuffs on you and you're going to be cool, or I'm going to just fucking shoot you.
Like you're gonna die if you get hit.
Yeah.
You're just out of your brain. You just scramble.
I should be like, do you A, have a tiger? and B, do you really like in the air tonight? I'm just asking.
I bet you he really does.
My brother-in-law, his girlfriend, is a good friend of mine. She interviewed Mike Tyson at his ranch.
Oh wow.
Let's see what Vegas. Hold on, keep going.
No nonsense motherfucker.
Hey, does he have I'm sure he's a nonsense motherfucker. I wonder if does he still have his cartoon?
I don't know.
God, Mike Tyson, like Detective Mythry, the Mike Tyson Mythry.
Yeah,
Mike Tyson. Do you know what we're talking about, Joe? Mike Tyson got his own show cartoon on Adult Swim.
Yeah,
where Mike Tyson, he voiced. It was like Mr. T and the gang. You know, back in the day when there was the Mr. T cartoon.
Yeah,
there was the Mike Tyson Mysteries, and fucking Mike Tyson.
I'm looking this shit up.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. I have it right here.
Okay.
Here we go.
Him on the show.
What's that?
I wonder if we could get him on the show because
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. We would have to go there and interview
him. Dude, if you get Mike Tyson on the show, I will. Well, I don't want to say it because if you get Mike Tyson on the show,
3-hour long interview.
It ran for 4 seasons. Mike Tyson Mystery.
Here we go. Let's see.
Here we go. I think we should watch an episode.
Here we go.
Hit me. Don't laugh, Chuck.
Don't laugh, Chuck.
Mike Tyson's like Bloody Mary. He'll jump out that fucking. He just jump out that mirror and punch you. Don't do it.
Don't.
Like, dude, this is just like,
yeah, it was like they were making fun of mystery cartoons, but they were treating Mike Tyson seriously. Like,
he's riding a tiger.
Awesome, dude. I love it.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic.
So here's the thing. Is anybody, because here's the Vegas odds. You ready for this?
Go.
Tyson is a +325 underdog, and Paul is a -500 favorite. I don't fucking know how that works. How can you be a positive underdog with the favorite being a I'm not a gambler. So if somebody's a gambler, fucking tell me how it works, but whatever. Like, I'm still afraid to fight Mike Tyson in Punch Out. That shit was hard.
You're gonna bite your fucking ear off, dude.
Yeah,
you done it before.
Oh, wait a minute. Tell me, yeah.
Did you see that? Did you video. See the commercial? Yeah, the commercial. You talking about the commercial?
With yes.
Visits.
Chuck, have you seen
so
it?
So good.
No.
Chuck, have you seen?
Oh, Chuck. Well, if you haven't seen this is a treat. But
you're welcome in advance. Here we go.
This is fantastic.
This is. They did this this Christmas. This is just fucking amazing. So here we go. This is Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield's Christmas commercial. Here we go.
Boxing legends Mike Tyson and
Evander. Oh, goddamn! I don't want the news story. I just want the damn commercial. So.
Oh man.
Is that one out there?
Here we go. Oh, fucking hell. Wait, that's an old commercial. Okay, maybe this is it. Here we go.
This is a short one, yeah. Give a little taste.
Oh, you go first.
Here we go.
You go first. Okay. No, I don't. You sure? You mean? Here you go. What's this? I'm glad we iron things out. Now I got you again.
Did you still see the piece of Evander Holyfield's ear missing?
What is this? I got you your ear. No, it's not. This ain't my ear. Yes, it is. Cherry pie punch. My ears don't taste like cherry pie. Yes, they do. My ears don't. Yes, they do. Man, they don't. Yes, they do. No, it don't. Yes, it do. Why, I ate your ear, I should know.
Holy fuck. I remember when that shit happened and they were like selling those little fucking chocolate ears on a stick with like happy ear.
Yep.
Oh,
so bad.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. Is like, does anybody actually think Jake Paul? I mean, this is dead serious.
Go ahead.
My wife and I talked about this, and my wife's not a huge fight fan. She's not a huge boxing fan, but she knows her shit. And we talked about Mike Tyson, and she goes, does anybody actually think Jake Paul can beat him?
No.
And I said, well, I mean, Jake Paul's young, and she's like, I don't fucking care. Like, Mike Tyson's a beast. Like, all it's going to take is one good punch from Mike Tyson, and Jake Paul is fucking done. And I remember back in the day when I was in a band with Thunder. Y'all remember Thunder? Mm-hmm. Team Curtis. Yeah. Team Curtis knows Thunder. Team Curtis was in the same band with me as Thunder. Thunder was a boxer. Thunder was ripped as shit. And Thunder said, I wouldn't fucking fight Mike Tyson. That motherfucker's brutal. He's vicious. He's hard. He's like, they call him Iron Mike for a reason. So I just don't think, does anybody actually believe that Jake Paul could beat Mike Tyson?
I mean, they wouldn't even be talking about the conditions that Chuck brought up if it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they weren't worried about it. Like, they're, you know,
it's
openly trying to prevent Mike from knocking his ass out in the first round.
So right.
Because they know that that's a genuine possibility.
Well, yeah. Look at Jake Paul. He goes after once legends, right? Will continue to be legends, but legends that have money problems and have issues. And he presents a too good of a deal to pass up, where they basically force them to pull their full weight in the fight, allow them to go the distance, and then they'll give it to fucking Jake Paul. Because if they don't, they won't make the fucking big cash grab. There have been dudes who have fought in Jake Paul who have lost, who have made more money than they have in their whole fucking career. Jake Paul's a fucking businessman. He flaunts this money in front of them and floats it and goes, hey, if you allow to go the distance, I'll fucking pay you this. If I win and you lose, you'll still make X amount of money. If it goes a distance and you fucking win, you'll make this amount of money. Right. So it dangles that fucking carrot in front of their face, causing them not to fucking be their best fighter. And I really hope Mike Tyson goes, fuck that. I'm gonna fuck you up, motherfucker. And just fucking wrecks his ass. And everybody finally sees Jake Paul as the fucking, like, well, and look, Jake Paul.
Okay, let's back up.
However, Paul, but he's not a
Team Curtis makes a good argument. Jake Paul is not a joke. Like, sleeping on Jake Paul being a good boxer, like, we've laughed because he's a fucking YouTube dick bag, whatever.
No, in the beginning, it was like a joke, but he's developed. He's developed into a boxer. Yeah.
Skills. I'm not saying he doesn't, but what I am, and I think this is where it's a Rocky Drago, like, Mike Tyson, if Jake Paul can go the distance,
I must break you.
If Jake Paul can go the distance and outlast Tyson, because as Tim was pointing out, there's a 30-year age
difference.
It does make a difference. Okay. Team Curtis says, if Mike gets a KO in the first 30 seconds, he should get $100 million. Wholeheartedly agree.
100%.
Get like 100,000.
Money you will make off of the YouTube views of Jake Paul getting knocked out in less than 30 seconds will more than cover the purse for the fight. But I don't want to get and Team Curtis, I don't want to get hit by Jake Paul necessarily either. But I'll tell you what, if you're asking me who I would rather arrest, knowing they were going to go sideways, I'd rather fucking arrest Jake Paul than Mike Tyson.
Oh,
because
100%.
And here's the only other person that I would want to arrest less than Mike Tyson is probably Chuck Liddell, and that's only because I have a friend who he was on the SWAT team for our local agency, and Chuck Liddell trained and lived in our city, the Pit. Okay. Y'all see Chuck Liddell's tattoo of the dude, the MMA dude with the skull, the grim head, and the boxing gloves. That dojo, the Pit, was in my town. I lived a mile away from the Pit. And Hackelman was a local sensei. Chuck was a fucking bouncer at our bar at Tortilla Flats in downtown San Luis Obispo. Like, I can tell you Chuck Liddell stories for days. Really nice guy. Married a cop, like dated a cop. Like, he's a super good dude. In fact, a cop I worked with, his daughter, or yeah. Anyway, long story short, Chuck's a good dude. But he came in and trained with our SWAT team. And the SWAT team guys were allowed to do pugilistics with Chuck Liddell. And Chuck Liddell said, okay, we're going to put, you're going to put on headgear and gloves. And I'm going to spar with you. And I'm going to give you haymaker at half speed. Or haymakers at half speed. So my buddy took a haymaker from Chuck Liddell at half speed. And said it was like getting kicked in the head by a mule.
Yeah.
So you got to understand, like, the punches these guys deliver are superhuman.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Tyson is so good at it. If he was winning the heavyweight world championship at 20 years old, what the fuck do you think 20 more years of boxing did to him?
Dude.
So, anyway.
He's an old man. You know, interesting. Fucking, and we've all seen those videos of those fucking guys on the bus, you know, talking shit to the old man. They didn't know he was a fucking golden glove, and the old man gets up and just fucking pop, 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 knocks the motherfucker out, and you're like, holy shit, a fucking 70-year-old man just knocked you the fuck out. It's the same. You can't sleep on Mike Tyson, dude. He's going to fuck you up, and he ain't 70, dude. He's in his 50s, and he's been fucking training this whole time. He still works out.
Yeah. Austin says, Tim Kennedy also trained at the Pit, and I'm going to tell you right now, Austin, I worked with Tim Kennedy's dad. I worked narcotics with Tim Kennedy's dad, who was a cop. And I knew Tim. That's grew cool. up in my town. And I was getting pictures of Tim before he was an MMA fighter, when he was just, well, not just, but when he was in the military. So that's number one story. We're talking about some interesting stories, because should we say the juice is loose?
The juice has been let loose.
The juice is gone.
The juice be gone.
I think it's a happy ending. I think he's reunited with his girl, you know, saying in the afterlife.
I'm telling you what, I don't think they went to the same place. If there's a heaven and a hell, I'm going to put money that he didn't go where she went. She could have been a piece of shit human being, and regardless of getting murdered or not, if you're a piece of shit human being and you're not like,
allegedly.
In my opinion, you're not a Christian. You're not going to the same place. But the juice, O.J. Simpson is dead. And he can finally rest. And I know this joke has been made elsewhere.
The memes were fire.
Knowing that Nicole Brown Simpson's killer is dead.
Dude, the memes have been just fire, dude.
Oh yeah,
that's how the slow Bronco going up to the gates.
That's yep.
So if anyone thinks that didn't do it, you're fucking crazy, because I know the detective, the lead detective on the case. I know his son,
Van Adder or Furman.
The first one,
Van Adder. Okay.
So the only reason why he did not get convicted is when they got to the scene and they collected the bloody glove. What they did is they by agency policies, you have to take that glove and you have to put it into a paper bag, like a brown sack lunch paper bag, a brown paper bag. You put it in there because it preserves the DNA. Well, it was a hot day, so they put it in the back of the Crown Vic, the detective's car, in the back of the Crown Vic in the trunk, and fucking shut it, continue their investigation. Well, what happens in leather and water when it gets heated?
Yeah.
It shrinks.
I mean, I do leather work, and I'm going to tell you right now, when you get wet leather wet and then it dries, it shrinks.
So
and blood is wet, happened. And blood got on his leather gloves, and when it dried, it shrinks.
Well, a lot of fucking blood. You hit someone's fucking artery in their neck, you're fucking spewing blood. So it was like taking that thing and running under a fucking faucet and then dropping it. So basically what had happened is that it soaked in blood. They put it into a paper bag, threw it in the back of the truck, or back in the trunk of the car, continued their investigation. And then by the time it got set into evidence, you know, they had no idea that it shrunk. And then when he was like, well, we'll put the glove on to see if it fit, because the fucking lawyer knew that one fact. And he was like, it ain't going to fucking fit, motherfucker.
Dude, I got gloves.
Put right it on. It won't fit.
I can deliberately not have fit me on purpose. But I want to put this comment
up. If I remember his face, like when he was like trying to put on the glove, it was just his face of like, oh, wow, it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
So Team Curtis put up, those of us that looked into it know that it was Jason Simpson that committed the murder.
Yeah, that's a long-going thing.
Because you guys know about the book, right?
If I Done It?
If I Did It by O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, O.J. Simpson was sued in civil court for wrongful death, and he lost because the preponderance of evidence... In civil court, for those of you who don't know, criminal court, it is reasonable doubt, right? But in civil court, the requirement is preponderance of the evidence, which literally means the evidence just has to weigh more heavily in your favor. So 51-49 is the standard, not 99% sure. It's 51% sure. If you're 51% sure that one side is correct and the other side is not, you find in favor of the 51%. That's how a civil case works. In the wrongful death trial, the jury said, yeah, there's more than 51% evidence to suggest that OJ fucking did it. Okay. Cut to OJ writing a book called If I Did It by OJ Simpson. Well, the family of Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman had a judgment against O.J. Simpson for millions and millions of dollars. They were able to seize control of the book and release it themselves and basically take all the royalties from the book. So when you look at the book, it says, I did it. And then in a teeny tiny little font inside the I, it says, if. That's how they designed the book cover. Because they were like, fuck him, he did it, right? Well, I didn't read the whole book. But what I did do was I read the chapter in which OJ literally writes a full chapter where he says, now, I didn't do it, but if I had done it,
right,
this is how it would have happened. And then describes the entire murders from start to finish. I don't know if y'all know that. But y'all can go out there and read it. It 100% he describes having another person with him. So for those of you that think it was Jason Simpson that did it, for those of you that think it was OJ that did it, I personally believe, based on what I've read, they were both there. And somebody lost their shit and some motherfuckers got killed pretty brutally. And
well, even if you're there and your son does it and you're complicit in the crime and you're helping him,
You're an accomplice,
you're an accessory, right? Yeah,
it doesn't fucking matter. I don't care, like, it doesn't matter. You still did it, dude.
Exactly. So he's a piece of shit. Fuck him. He did what, 10 years for robbery
of his own storage facility?
No, that's it wasn't a storage facility.
No,
he straight went into their hotel room,
right? Yeah,
and threatened him. I think at gunpoint,
yeah,
to give them the memorabilia
that he said it was his, even though it had been sold. Yeah, it had been sold at auction, and obviously felt entitled to it, so he fucking stormed into their fucking hotel room and held them at gunpoint.
Yeah. Oh, this is interesting. Matthew says, "If you're not guilty, why run?" And Team Curtis says, "To buy your son time to take a shower." Well, if you remember, Team Curtis, the running was several days after the murder. So his son had already taken a shower.
Yeah, it wasn't hot pursuit. It was fucking late.
Yeah. So fuck OJ Simpson. He's dead. I don't know that anybody realistically, if you realistically believe that he wasn't, I'm not saying he stabbed someone. What I'm saying is that he was involved and there. Period. End of story. Mm-hmm. Regardless of who did what to whom, that motherfucker was involved, and he's just as guilty as whomever was there with him.
Right.
And if you believe anything other than that, I don't know what to tell you. That's all. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think it's one of those, like, it's fucking obvious to me. Like, duh. So,
oh yeah, he would dare.
So yeah,
as famously said by Dave Chappelle, oh yeah, that motherfucker did it.
He Which did that shit. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, he did.
Oh yeah, he did. He did that shit.
But he single-handedly did more for the Ford Bronco than anybody else in history.
Yeah.
It's being sold at auction or something like right now for like
somebody brought it
5 million or something.
Somebody brought it to Pawn Stars. What? You gonna bring the OJ? But that's a. I mean, Pawn Stars is fake as shit. I just want everybody to know that. Like, right. If you think Pawn Stars is like, they have a real pawn shop. But everything that's brought in on the show is completely staged. So
I think they're all dead.
The Pawn Stars?
Yeah. So
no, only no, the dad. No.
The old man is dead.
Yeah. And then the two other fucking guys, they're both dead. And the only one alive is the dad who had the son, and his son brought it as
friend. No. His other son. Not the son on the show.
No, Corey's still alive. The other son that we never saw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw the picture of Corey being dead, and the other guy is dead too.
No. So dad, the old man died, and his other son died of a fentanyl overdose. But I believe.
And then what's his name? Went to prison, right?
Chumley. Chumley. He got charged with something, but I don't know if he ever went to prison. So, anyway, have been the two like big news stories. But we've got some other things that we can discuss if you guys want to. You want to talk about something from my neck of the woods real quick? I want to get your guys' take on this.
Sure.
Because the news story says that the Idaho murders killer, Brian Koberger, you guys know about the Idaho murders, right? The four college students that were like slaughtered in their dorm room. Yeah. Okay. So the headline is accused Idaho killer Brian Koberger offers up alibi.
Oh.
Yeah. Offers up alibi.
He was at the Piggly Wiggly.
I don't think they have Piggly Wigglies, dude.
So now, you guys, I don't know if you know about the evidence against him, but the evidence against
Come
him
and go.
His car was caught on camera in the area. At the time of the murders, his phone went dark, like driving into Idaho, and then turned back on when he was driving out of Idaho. And like all this evidence that incriminates him, his car identical to his is seen on camera driving past the house in the area, blah, blah, blah. Okay. This is the alibi. Mr. Koberger was out driving in the early morning hours of November 13th, 2022, as he often did, to hike and run and or see the moon and stars. He drove throughout the area.
Okay.
South of Pullman, Washington, west of Moscow.
I'm in it. Okay.
That's his alibi. No, I went out driving like I always do to see the moon and stars.
Sure.
I could fucking drive a truck through the holes in that alibi. Why bother asserting an alibi if that's the alibi? Are you fucking serious? Yes, Team Curtis, I did watch Quiet on Set, by the way. We're waiting for everybody to have seen it, and then we want to have you on to discuss it. But that's, you know. Let's see. This is interesting. Matthew, you were born and raised in SLO, and your grandma worked for SLO PD. If you're willing to, what years did your grandma work for SLO PD? Because I probably didn't know her because I wasn't. I knew a lot of people at SLO PD, but anyway, just a little fun stuff. All right, we're moving on to as we get into the. Do you guys have anything?
You may know somebody who knew her, somebody who mentioned her.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yo. Did you hear about fucking motherfuckers in the Middle East?
Yeah, you said something about this. What is this?
Listen, Dubai is underwater.
Dubai is underwater.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. So they were fucking around with they're going Gerard Butler Geostorm. They're fucking around with drone technology, sending drones up there to get some fucking rain going. This is allegedly.
Yeah, they were speeding clouds.
Right. So yeah. They're over there, like, you know, they're over there doing the fucking thing, and the shit went little cloudy with a chance of meatballs. The next thing you know, torrential downpours, and the shit's flooded. Like, yeah, motherfuckers are swimming. There's like kayaks.
The desert, and it's flooded. It's the desert, and it's flooded.
Well, so flooded. Like,
this is what happens in the desert when the rain falls. It floods because it's not used to rain. So,
yeah, of course.
What the fuck?
But the amount of rain is like, yeah, it's
they 18 dead.
They're not, when I say flooded, I'm talking like Katrina level of flooding. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cars are underwater.
Are you serious, Thomas? I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, put up some pictures for Chuck, man, because I'm telling you, like, the motherfuckers, like cars and shit like that are under fucking water.
Fucking Lambos and shit, fucking with doors open, just fucking all fucked. You know, like, they should have taken a playbook out of the United States, because we have flooded towns and killed thousands, but hundreds of people due to cloud seeding. We've had the technology and the patents for fucking years. And
shit,
like, everyone has the tin foil hats and cloud seeding. No, motherfucker, that shit is real. We hold the patents. There was a fucking Natural Geographic or History fucking channel thing on. It was either Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, with a fucking plant that produces clouds, and then it starts to fucking rain. Wow. And that's on the ground, not in the air. Holy shit! Wow, dude.
It's fucking flooded the fuck out.
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Damn. Dumb I mean, asses. Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of assholes.
That's the safest place on the planet, apparently.
Except from water.
It has the lowest crime rate.
And JV says, they can't swim? No, they can't swim.
No, motherfucker, they ain't got like... They
can ride the fuck out of a camel, but they can't swim.
Or Toyota Hilux in the fucking desert.
Oh, by the way, Team Curtis says he watched the jetpack races. I'm going to tell you what, though. They got so much money, the jetpack races and the fucking...
Oh, sorry.
Amazing.
Did you say jetpack races?
Yeah, jetpack races in Dubai.
Thomas, go. And all right. Video.
No. Okay. Yeah, so there are jetpack racing. I just saw this. So you know the ones where they have the thrusters? Instead of being an actual jetpack on your back, they put the thrusters on your hands, right? Like Iron Man style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well.
They're like the three exhaust ports on each side of the hand.
Right. Yeah, well. Apparently now we have decided that we've got enough of these things that we're just going to fucking race them. And ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the world's first jetpack race.
Oh, shit.
In Dubai.
That's cool as fuck.
I mean, like,
that's pretty dope, dude.
Like,
this is probably sponsored by Red Bull.
1,500 horsepower. 1,500 horsepower. 80 miles an hour, bro. What the hell? Like,
analogy would be that dream of flying where you can walk, run, and step, and then go wherever your mind is taking you. And yes, the world of Marvel superheroes and DC Comics, they have created that dream, but with CGI, and we've got the closest I think anybody's ever got to delivering that for real.
That's like fucking Iron Man.
That's dope.
Okay. Well, I saw this. There is a thing that I would love to do in the UAE. And Marco, you remember when we were kids, the G.I. Joe came out with those G.I. Joe figures that had the gliders?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And you could put your G.I. Joe on the glider and throw it?
Yes. They're the tiger striped. If I remember, they're tiger striped camo. And
Yeah. One Cobra one was like blue and the G.I. Joe one was camo. And, okay.
Yeah.
This is not a new video, but it's not as, for some reason, well known as I think it should be. Because holy shit, boys, the future is now. What you're looking at is a double-decker 787, 747, whatever the shit, jumbo jet in Emirates, United Arab Emirates, flying through the sky. And then you guys tell me what you're seeing. Because I see a jumbo jet double decker. Oh.
Those are jetpacks.
Flying people.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. These
are literally wearing.
Not this video, but yeah.
Wings.
Dude, they're up there. They're up there.
And they are wearing wings with jets on them. And they're literally following this jumbo jet on approach.
I'm like, touch the jet or it didn't happen. I'm just saying.
I mean, what the hell, dude?
That's like, pretty cool.
Years and years. Look at that. That's inside the it's inside the plane, dude. That's inside the plane.
Dude, this looks like some fucking Chuck Norris fucking special mission to get hijackers.
Mission Impossible. In mission like,
yeah. What were the Chuck Norris movies? Was it
Delta Force? No, Missing in Action?
No, Delta Force? No, no. It was it Delta Force, right?
Delta Force. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're fucking booking it.
Oh, dude.
Those are quick.
I'm down, dude.
I don't know that I want to skydive, but I will fly the fuck out of a jetpack.
Bro, I bet you there's already military applications for that.
Bear says it's an Airbus 777. So good. Thank you. I didn't know. Curtis, they're cloud seeding. Yeah, they probably are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. MJV says, I would love to hear that call. And I want to show you what that call sounds like because Richard Donner predicted it in 1978. I'm not kidding. You guys want to see how Richard Donner predicted it in 1978?
Mm-hmm.
I'm being a self-serving nerd right now.
Okay.
I don't care. And if you don't like it, you can kiss my ass because
I think it sounds like this. My name's Jeff.
My name is Jeff. No, I'm being a self-serving nerd. This is how Richard Donner predicted this very thing, what Marco was asking about. What is it? What's the or MJV? I'd love to hear that call. Here, MJV, here's what that call sounded like according to Richard Donner in 1978.
Metropolis Airport, this is Air Force One. We have the latest weather report.
Roger, Air Force One, Metropolis.
Get off my plane.
S-700 broken. 1.5 hours, wind 2405 altimeter, 9 or 9 or 8.
Roger. Well, doesn't look too good. What do you think?
What the hell was that?
What happened?
You lost power, number one.
We lost power? Hell, we lost the whole engine.
Pressure's gone.
Shut down number one.
Number one throttle closed.
Yeah, bring up two and three.
That pressure increase four. Now increase four.
It's Superman, the movie, 1978.
Air Force One. Port outboard engine and part of wing. Request emergency landing. What's the position?
10 miles southwest of Metropolis Airport. Notified of the president's on board.
Position 10 miles. That's 10 miles southwest Metropolis Airport. Heading 305.
Did you say Petropolis? There it is.
Man grabs the wing and holds it up under himself as he's flying. The pilot looks out and sees Superman where the engine used to be. Superman salutes him. The pilot catches himself waving at him. And this is how that call goes.
What the hell happened? We got our engine back? What the hell's going on out there?
Fly. Don't look. Just fly. We got something. I ain't saying what it is. Just trust me.
Mm-hmm. That was mm-hmm. that. Just fly.
Just fly.
Just fly.
I'm surprised you didn't look over at him, Timmy. Do you like Gladiator movies?
Oh God, that's another great airline movie. Do you guys want to do some quote trivia to end the show?
Cool trivia. Okay.
Okay. This is
Are you gonna alienate Chuck?
No, it's guess the war quote.
Okay, here we go.
So these are all quotes about war. Ready? Here we go. All right, quote. The soldier above all others. And you know what? If you guys want to play in the chat, play in the chat.
Yeah, please, because I'm not going to get any of these. Go ahead. Okay.
The soldier above all others prays for peace, for it is the soldier who must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of war. Okay. Was that A, General George S. Patton, B, Dwight David Eisenhower, C, Douglas MacArthur, or D, John F. Kennedy? Anybody know? Ooh, Pablo. Pablo coming in hot with Patton. Team Curtis for the win with Mother Teresa. I believe it was Gandhi.
I was going to say Gandhi. That's what I was going with.
That one was Douglas MacArthur, who famously
didn't win any of that.
Okay.
So it wasn't Robin Williams?
It was not Robin Williams.
that was Patrick older,
here we go. Quote number two. Mm-hmm. Older men declare war, but it is the youth that must fight and die.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Was it A, Winston Churchill, B, Dwight David Eisenhower, C, Herbert Hoover, or D, Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
Oh, I think it's
A. Should I read the quote again?
No, I think it's A.
Older men declare war, but it is the youth that must fight and die. Fuzzy's going with A. Chuck, you want me to put the choices again? It was Eisenhower?
He's going with Eisenhower.
B. Matthew in the chat is also going with
Churchill.
A. Right. It was in fact A, Winston Churchill.
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah, nice. And MJB got it. And Team Curtis, it would have been, if it was General Samuel L. Jackson, it would have been older motherfuckers declare war, but it is the young motherfuckers that must fight and die. That is the Samuel Jackson quote.
Bitch.
Okay. Number three. I know not with what weapons World War III will be fought, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones.
I mean,
it's fucking true, dude.
It's scary true.
I know not what weapons World War III will be fought, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. Was that A, Winston Churchill, B, Dwight David Eisenhower, C, Albert Einstein, or D, Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
Go to Einstein.
Oh. You see Einstein? Yeah, maybe Roosevelt. No. Yeah, maybe Einstein.
Texas Einstein, Marco?
Yeah,
Matthew in the chat and Pablo in the chat say Einstein. Marco, what say you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Einstein.
It was, in fact, Albert Einstein, because Albert Einstein famously was involved in the development
right.
of the bomb, and therefore the Einstein went, you know, if we have World War III, we're all kind of fucked after that.
I guess probably.
That's probably.
You guys been watching Fallout, by chance?
Don't even talk to me about Fallout. So good.
I only watched the first episode.
So
I'm like two and a half, three episodes in.
So good.
It's good.
We'll talk about that next time. Because we don't have time to.
Chuck, really, you watch Shogun?
I really want to.
Are you caught up on Shogun?
Ooh, I can't wait to start Shogun. Is it good?
Phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
I gotta watch it during the day. It's you can't watch
it
at night.
Oh,
it's fucking good. It's really fucking good.
Hey, Marco.
Yo.
You know the actor that's in Shogun was in John Wick 3, right?
Wait, I'm sorry. Which one?
The actor that's in Shogun was in John Wick 3, right? That guy. The actor. He was the Japanese.
Yeah,
John Wick's friend, Japanese friend. Okay. Well, you know who the Asian actor. Okay. You know that Clint Eastwood's spaghetti westerns, The Man with No Name movies, Fistful of Dollars, Few Dollars More, and Good, the Bad,
were
based on the Akira Kurosawa movies.
Yeah.
Where they were based on Japanese samurai movies. Now.
Right.
In a beautiful moment of full circle, Ken Watanabe, who's a very famous Japanese actor, when I show you his face, you'll know what he was in. Ken Watanabe decided to go full circle, and there is a Japanese samurai remake of Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven.
Of Unforgiven? Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, if you haven't, we've done some YouTubing tonight, but I feel like Marco needs to see this because
I'm gonna watch that. Yeah,
if you haven't seen this, bro,
and I know who Ken Watanabe is.
You know who Ken Watanabe is. I know.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, you watch shit like I do.
Yeah.
And so Ken Watanabe, knowing that a lot of Clint Eastwood American Westerns were based on Japanese samurai movies, Ken Watanabe decided to do the reverse and take an American Clint Eastwood Western and then turn it into a Japanese samurai movie. So for those of you who have never seen Unforgiven, too fucking bad. For those of you that have, do yourself a favor and watch the Japanese. I'll just show you a minute of it. Subtitled. So if you're not watching on YouTube, you don't know. But Ken Watanabe is the Clint Eastwood character. See, it's like literally. They cut up a woman. I promised my wife I wasn't going to kill anymore. The hookers staying cut off their heads. Towns ruled by one guy. Feudal Japan. Katanas everywhere. Dude, it's literally Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven in Japanese with samurai. And it is spectacular.
If it ain't Kung Fu Hustle, I'm not gonna fuck with it. If it ain't Kung Fu Hustle, I'm not
fucking with it. He's in a new show right now.
He is?
Tokyo. It's called Tokyo, yeah. It's in the second season. It's really good.
Okay.
Bear needs big joke energy. So let's finish our quotes and then we'll end with a couple of jokes. Because we're running out of time. I think we're over. Anyway, who cares? Fuck it. Matt, by the way, is working. He was on set so late. Like, people in Hollywood don't know how to keep a schedule, just in case you're wondering. Okay, the quote is, in war, there is no substitute for victory. Was it Douglas MacArthur, George S. Patton, Dwight David Eisenhower, or John F. Kennedy?
Well, I'm saying MacArthur.
Okay.
MacArthur. I'm saying MacArthur.
All right. Chuckles?
What are the answers again?
The quote is, in war, there is no substitute for victory. Was it MacArthur, Patton, Eisenhower, or Kennedy?
Patton.
It was MacArthur. Marco, coming in big with three correct.
It just sounds like something he would have said.
Okay. How about the next one is, the more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war.
Oh, I don't.
Was it?
Oh, I have no idea.
General Schwarzkopf, General Patton, General Eisenhower, or General Washington?
Washington.
You think you go that far back?
Fuck, I don't know, dude.
What was the third one?
With horse teeth, bro.
The more you sweat in peace, the less you bleed in war. Schwarzkopf, Patton, Eisenhower, or Washington?
I'll say Eisenhower.
Stickler and MJV and Pablo, they all say Patton. It wasn't Patton.
It was Patton.
Well, George S. Patton. Blood and Guts Patton. Here we go. This is one of my favorites. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Was it George Washington, John F. Kennedy, Ronald Reagan, or Thomas Jefferson?
Ronald Reagan.
Jefferson.
Jefferson?
I'm going with Jefferson. He's going with Reagan.
Okay. You're going with Reagan? Anybody in the chat? There's no Churchill on this one, Team JB, unless the chat is not up to date. Team Curtis says Reagan. It was, in fact... And Matthew says, Reagan, it was in fact good old Ron Bo. Good old Ronnie Reagan. Let's see.
Yeah, I got one.
Okay. You got a quote? Oh, you got one. All right. We got a couple more. This one's easy. I have not yet begun to fight. Do you guys want to just try and come up with a name or do you want the multiple choice? This one I could name without multiple choice, but I want to know if you guys want. Can anybody in the chat say, come up with who said, I have not yet begun to fight? Anybody? No? Okay, your clues are George Washington.
I mean, every wife, Chuck, every wife.
Yeah. George Washington, John Paul Jones, Ulysses S. Grant, or Chester A. Arthur?
I think it was Grant.
Okay, Chuck?
Ulysses S. Grant.
John Paul Jones. And not the bassist, John Paul Jones.
I was like, really?
I'm not talking about The Who. Okay. The will to conquer is the first condition of victory. Okay? The will to conquer is the first condition of victory. Was it Patton, MacArthur, Eisenhower, or Napoleon?
Napoleon.
I'll go with Napoleon.
It was, in fact, Napoleon. War is too important to be left to generals.
Jesse Puller.
Right? Okay. Was it Eisenhower, Patton, MacArthur, or Churchill?
Churchill.
Yeah. It should be a gimme because Churchill was the only one that wasn't a general.
Yeah.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. Was it Churchill, Roosevelt, Eisenhower, or Patton?
Eisenhower.
Okay. Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. Churchill, Roosevelt, Eisenhower, or Patton?
Eisenhower?
Okay. Anybody in the chat? War is too important to be left to the generals. Or no, we already did that one.
Yeah,
never
in the field
of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. Winston Churchill, Franklin Roosevelt, Dwight Eisenhower, or George S. Patton? Let's see. Beavis and Butthead, Team Curtis says. Will Smith, I Am Legend. Matthew says, Eisenhower. The answer is, in fact, Winston Churchill. Mm. And then we got two more left. In war, the morale is to the physical as three is to one. Is it Napoleon, Sun Tzu, George Washington, or Julius Caesar? In war, the moral is to the physical as three is to one.
Julius Caesar.
Okay. Anybody else? Napoleon Bonaparte, Sun Tzu, George Washington, or Julius Caesar? In war, the moral is to the physical as three is to one.
Sun Tzu?
It was Napoleon.
It was Napoleon.
And last, Napoleon because he's a fucking short man. Yeah. So let's just overwhelm him. Fuck
these and the last one. The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. You guys want to take a guess without the multiple choice? The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. Bear? Bear's got it. Yep. Team Curtis has got it. I can give you the choices, but this one should be obvious. The supreme
art of war,
War
right,
is to subdue the enemy without fighting.
Didn't he name a book called Art of War?
Yep. Sun Tzu wrote The Art of War. So I thought that was fun.
Isn't this the theme of every porno?
The Art of War.
To subdue without, you know, without actually, you know.
Oh my God. That's funny. All right. Should we do a couple of jokes before we end?
What do you call a person that doesn't masturbate?
A liar.
That's right.
Oh shit. I'm sorry. You guys know what's blue and smells like red paint?
What?
Blue paint.
Okay.
That's awesome. You know, the most corrupt CEOs are those of pretzel companies.
Wait, what?
I said the most corrupt CEOs are those of pretzel companies.
Oh, yeah, why?
Yeah, they're always so twisted.
Oh, my God.
I should have been drinking for that stupid one. Hey, do you guys want to know what makes me smile?
What?
The muscles in my face.
Hey, what's the difference between a G-spot and a clitoris?
What?
Ooh. Man don't care, so it doesn't really matter.
You know, when we were kids, we used to be afraid of the dark.
Okay.
But when we grew up, the electricity bill made us afraid of the light.
No, these are facts. I live with that every day. Yeah. Oh. These motherfuckers leave everything on.
Emiliano says, my friend was showing me his tool shed and he pointed to a ladder and he said, that's my step ladder. I never knew my real ladder.
Just looking at a joke like that.
Sofa King says, I saw a contest for the best double entendre. So I entered, my friend.
Nice.
Very well.
Very oh, my well God.
Played.
Oh. What is the sign on the outside of it? Oh, sorry. This is why I don't do fucking big joke energy.
No, go for it. Do it. Who gives a shit?
What does the sign on an out of business brothel say?
What?
Beat it. We're closed.
See, that's good. Oh, what did the farmer say when he couldn't find his tractor?
What?
What? Where the fuck is my tractor?
I mean, yeah.
You know, the other day, my wife asked me to pass her lipstick, but I accidentally passed her the glue stick. Yeah, she still isn't talking to me.
Mm. Why does Dr. Pepper come in a bottle?
Oh, God. Why? Okay.
Because his wife passed away.
Emiliano says, what's the difference between a well-dressed man on a unicycle and a poorly dressed man on a bicycle?
What?
A tire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I childproofed my house.
Okay.
Yeah. Somehow they still all got in.
Oh, damn. Who do you what do you call a herd of cows masturbating?
Oh, I know this one. I know this one.
Beef stroking off.
Why can't T-Rexes clap?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but why?
Because they're all dead.
Okay, I watched into that one.
It is kind of obvious. Actually, you know, my son told me. I have to tell you when my son told me.
Before.
What did Batman say to Robin? Let's see. What did Batman say to Robin before they got in the Batmobile?
What?
Robin, get in the Batmobile.
So stupid. I love it.
Oh, God.
Get help. It was just the dumbest shit. Here, go ahead.
So a man walks into a magic forest and tries to cut down a talking tree. You can't cut me down, the tree complains. I'm a talking tree. The man responds, you may be a talking tree, but you will dialogue.
Oh. Let's see. This was sent by a listener. Do you know what sex and hunting have in common?
No.
What? Once you pull the trigger, you have a mess to clean up.
Oh, these are facts. these are facts.
Why are women like parking lots?
Why?
Why?
Because all the good ones are taken, so you just end up sticking it right into a disabled one.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you got one more because I got a closer if you want it.
How did you quit smoking?
How?
I decided to smoke only after sex.
Oh.
Because marriage.
Yeah. Chuck, you got one more?
Yeah, sure. What's a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet?
Oh, I know this one.
None. Historians have suggested most pirates would have been illiterate.
Oh, what a letdown.
I know, dude. Letdown.
I did that on purpose.
Okay.
Good.
A man, here's our closer. Unless anybody has, no, chat doesn't have one. Okay, here we go. A man in a locker room of an upscale gym answers a cell phone and puts it on speaker while he's dressing. So everybody else in the locker room stops to listen. The man says, hello. And a woman's voice says, hi, honey, it's me. Are you at the club? And the man says, yeah. So the woman says, I'm out shopping and I found a beautiful leather coat. It's only $2,000. Is it okay if I buy it? And the man says, sure, go ahead if you like it that much. And the woman says, I also stopped by the new Lexus dealership and saw one of the new models I really like. It's on a special. The man says, well, how much? And the woman says, it's $90,000. And the man says, wow, but for that price, I want it with all the options. And the woman says, great. Oh, and one more thing. I was just talking to Jamie, and I found out that the house we want to buy last year is back on the market, and they're asking $980,000 for it. You remember it was well over $1 million when we looked at it. The man says, I don't know, make an offer for $900,000 and they'll probably take it. If not, we can spring for the extra $80,000 if that's what you really want. And the woman says, okay, I'll see you later. I love you so much. And the man says, I love you too. And the man hangs up. Every single other man in the locker room is staring at him with their mouth open. And the man turns to him and looks at him and says, anybody know whose phone this is?
Oh, damn. That's awesome.
Oh, wow. What is Matt? We missed you.
Did we though?
We, I mean,
but our aim is getting better.
Oh, anybody have any clothing? Yeah, cheers, Nathan. Chuck in the chat. As opposed to Chuck on the Cho. Chuck in the chat says, Curtis sucks dick. Those are facts. It's not a locker room episode if Team Chuck and Team Curtis don't spar a little bit. I think you guys should just fuck and get it over with.
You should kiss or what?
Yeah. Like, just make love and get it over with.
Kiss my dick.
Damn. Just kiss it. Don't suck it. Don't
and it. The don't reason is Team it. Curtis, Team Curtis with it. The closer. Team Curtis says, I have a joke. Chuck's an asshole. No joke.
That's why I said what I said.
Oh. Oh, man. All right. Well, it was a good night. You guys can go fuck yourselves.
You know what's bullshit? My fucking wife driving my truck and leaving it on fucking empty, then I calling her and she's like, was the light on?
Doesn't matter.